And so Genesis chapter 43 and 44, the chapters that we read, I draw your attention especially to the end of chapter 43. He took and sent messes unto them before him, but Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And then chapter 44, verse 1, he commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. Our theme today is testing. It's a testing time for Joseph's brothers. The brethren of Joseph are being proved. That's what's happening here in chapters 43 and 44. They're being proved. Joseph is testing them. He's proving to see if they have changed. You see, they've all come back to Egypt for more grain. They have now to encounter Joseph for the second time. But they can't come back without Benjamin. Joseph has clearly said, you'll not see my face, you'll not appear before me unless you come back with Benjamin. You all have to come back. I'll keep Simeon as a ransom in the meantime, but make sure you're all here when you come back. So Joseph had insisted on that. It was hard for them, as we know, to persuade their father Jacob, to let Benjamin go down to Egypt. He didn't want to lose him like he lost Joseph. But with the severity of the famine, there was no choice. And so all 10 brothers, including Benjamin, go down to Egypt and they come before Joseph. The scene is described in chapter 43, verse 16. When Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home. That is, to my home, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. Simeon, as I said, is brought in. So all 11 brothers are present now. They're all in Joseph's house, including Benjamin, and Joseph comes before them. Now remember, he's still not recognized by them. They still do not know him, and he still pretends to be foreign to them. He doesn't even speak in Hebrew. He doesn't even eat with them, because the Egyptians won't eat with Hebrews. And now the test begins. The testing of these men. Now it has puzzled many who have heard this story of Joseph, especially children. It has puzzled them why Joseph's so harsh. Why he's so hard on his brethren. And why was it especially needful for him to distress Benjamin? Well, Benjamin is the key. He's the key to find out if his brothers have really changed. Remember, Benjamin is the full brother of Joseph. And Joseph creates the whole scene here in these chapters to test them. To test their hard attitude to Benjamin, to test their hard attitude to their father, have they changed? Have they been converted? Has a work of regeneration, a work of grace, taken place in their lives? Joseph is seeing if their characters have changed. Are they still malicious? Are they still envious and wicked and hurtful? Joseph wants to find that out. Is there true repentance? Is there true regret? Are these men really sorry? Have these brethren new hearts? And essential to the testing that he must do upon them is the presence of Benjamin among them. If similar circumstances occur, as did occur over 20 years ago, Well, these 10 brothers behave in a similar way. Will they let Benjamin die? Will they let Benjamin go easily? Will they have no feelings how their father feels? And so Joseph is not being spiteful when he does all of this. When he appears to rile and stir up his brethren, it's not wickedness in him when he plants the silver cup in Benjamin's sack. There is no malice on the part of Joseph. And I want you to be clear about that, men and women, that this isn't wickedness on Joseph's part. He's a type of Christ. There's no malice in him. He tests and tries his brethren as Christ does us. But he's not doing it as Satan would do it to get them to sin, but to test and prove character. So let's be very fixed in our minds here. Joseph is a good soul. A very good type of our Lord Jesus Christ. A loving brother who wants change and repentance in his brethren, who wants harmony and unity restored into his family on a right and proper basis, who is testing out of love, not tempting out of malice. There's a vast difference, you see. If Joseph wanted revenge and to hurt, he would have been at no loss as to how to go about that. And he had all power in his hand to do it. But he doesn't want to punish and to enact revenge. He is, in actual fact, very loving. He has melted. He has treated them with kindness. We can't go over all that ground again. He has only ever treated them with kindness. He even now speaks kindly to them. There is every indication of tenderness, although he must still conceal his deepest emotions. And on one occasion, he even has to go out of the room that he may do that. He's a melted heart. He's a sweetheart. He's a good heart like the Savior. There is no malice on his part in these chapters. He is a complete type of the Lord Jesus Christ. No revenge then. He loves them. Even as he tests them, he wants God to teach them and humble them. He wants them to be different men. He wants to prove to himself and for them to prove to themselves that they are indeed different. Joseph's brethren are tested. Christ's brethren will be tested. The Lord will test us, brethren and sisters. Christians even desire that, to be tested, to be proved. They want to know what kind of metal that they are made of. They might humble themselves before God and be even more refined in the refiner's fire. Does not the psalmist on a number of occasions say such things as, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." And then that classic Psalm 139, how it closes, as he prays before an omniscient and an omnipresent God, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And so Christians want the Lord to do with them as Joseph does with his brethren. It's a good work. Our hymn book has a lovely hymn. "Search me, O God, my actions try. Let my life appear as seen by thine all-searching eye. to mind my ways, make clear, search all my thoughts, the secret springs, and on it goes. God is always testing us. Our character is frequently and all the time being brought through the divine providence. And situations like this are created by God to test us. Providence finds out, brethren and sisters, what we are made of. The Lord brings out what is in our hearts, for that is good. He doesn't do this so he can know us, for he does know us, but he does this so that we can know ourselves and that we can be humbled and seek more earnestly his sanctifying grace. And so there are two tests in the chapters. The first test is at the end of chapter 43, and the second test is in the chapter 44. The first test is the supper test. Verses 32 through to 34, you read here that they set on him by himself. There's the whole meal here is taking place, and as the meal is being about to be laid out, the brothers are arranged, and they're arranged there, it says, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. So everybody's put in place according to their age, from the oldest to the youngest, and the brothers are thinking about this, and they're saying, this is marvelous. How does he know our ages? How does he know who's first and who's last? How does he know to set the firstborn here and all that long line in between? He gets it so perfectly. What's the chances of getting that right if you didn't know these men? Pretty impossible, really. But all these men are arranged. And the brethren are marveling. How is this done? And they must be very fearful. And they know that God has a hand in this. That this thing should have awakened them to the very fact that this is Joseph. It must be. It could be no other explanation for this. This is impossible that this should happen. The youngest to the oldest. This couldn't be an accident. This is design. Someone here knows us. Joseph, in fact, drops a number of clues, but they're blind to him still. And they're like sinners. Are not sinners sometimes struck that someone knows them? That there's a God present who knows them, and yet they're blind to that God and they don't know the Lord? These men are just like blind sinners. Remarkable providence has happened in their lives, and they know this is not accident, this is design, and yet they fear not God. And they don't yet recognize the Lord. And having marveled at that, something else takes place. Joseph treats Benjamin differently. Because it says there, verse 34, he took and sent messes unto them from before him. So the meals are going out from Joseph's presence to all the brothers. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs. And so he's setting forth Benjamin as a favorite. He's giving him five times as much. He's treating him with special privilege. It's not that Benjamin eats more, but he wants to see the brethren's reaction to Benjamin. The favored one, the privileged one, giving him the five messes is like the coat of many colors that his father gave him. Now, this isn't a precedent to imitate.
We ought not to differentiate between our children or others like this, favoritism. But this is a test. And Joseph is doing this with that very purpose in mind. How will these boys respond? The favored man now with the many messes well above theirs. How will the brethren respond? And so he reenacts somewhat the 20 years ago scene. They passed the test, actually, on this occasion. They drank and were merry with him. And so there's no sign of envy, or at least they very carefully hide it. It's a public occasion. Maybe they just... Is it real? But they pass the test by appearances. I'm sure Joseph is very discerning. He knows his brothers. If there's any envy or any discontent or any kind of bitterness or malice going on in their hearts, you always betray that. If anyone sees it, it'll be Joseph. But they pass the test. They drink and they make merry and everything goes well. The feast time is a happy time. It's not marred with any feelings of animosity or anything like that. As our heavenly Joseph looks on in us, as we gather in his house. Our heavenly Joseph has a house and we gather in his house, and oftentimes we have a supper even in this house and we meet around his table and the Lord gives us of his body and of his blood. And as we sit with our heavenly Joseph and gather in his house, and as he tests us and proves us and brings things to us that might create in malicious hearts envy and jealousy and animosity in malicious hearts, the Lord tests us and proves us. In his house, Joseph brings things in his providence to try us. Are we envious, brethren and sisters? Is there remaining malice and strife in us? Do you remember how at the Last Supper, the Lord's table, a strife arose among the brethren? Who should be the greatest? Who should be the favored one? Who should be nearest to the Lord? It must have grieved the Lord. And he instructed them, as we know, concerning the issue. If Joseph tested his brethren, men and women, we can be sure the Lord tests us as well. The Lord frequently acts as Joseph, testing our hearts, arranging circumstances, trying our actions, letting us see what is in here as we mingle among one another. And so, brother or sister, if something would arouse your envy and jealousy and stir up malice, know that the Lord is watching you. It's a testing time. The Lord is observing us for the green eye. And God favors others more than ourselves. He observes our response. Does our response mean we have to get to the cross again? We have to get to Calvary again? That we haven't got the heart of our Joseph yet? That we need more melting times? More grace? The second test is the silver test. Joseph has proved there is no envy or malice against Benjamin, but how much do they really love him? How much do they really feel for him? And if he is taken away from them, even at the prospect of slavery or even death, how will they behave? After all, they sold Joseph into slavery, didn't they? Didn't cost them a thought. Will they allow this to happen to Benjamin? Will Benjamin be sold into slavery and there's no one prepared to make a sacrifice for him? No one who has a love for him to stand up for him? And so Joseph is testing the brothers, and do they really love Benjamin? And as well as that, what about their father Jacob? Oh, they could go back and say Joseph was dead to their father Jacob. Would they just let Benjamin go into slavery and they'll run home to their father and tell him some other sad tale? Don't care. Don't care how their father feels. They didn't worry how their father felt 20 years ago. Have they changed? Is there a new heart? Have they undergone conversion? Has anything happened? Do they love Benjamin? Will further bad news for their father break their hearts? To manifest this seems to be the intention of this second test in chapter 44. Joseph creates a situation where he can detain Benjamin. And as the men are leaving with the sacks of grain, he plants a silver cup in Benjamin's sack. And after their journey, not long after their journey, Joseph sends his servants to overtake them and to recover, as we know, we read it, the cup. The men are astonished at the accusation. Verse 7, they appealed to their honesty as in the past. We were honest with you in the past. We were honest to your master in the past. We're not lying. And they even challenged him to investigate. And of course, the cup is found. And they're even more astonished. The early indications of that are good. Verses 13 and 14 of chapter 44. They rent their clothes. They laid at every man his ass. They returned to the city. They all go back. Nobody's for leaving Benjamin. Nobody's for going back to their father with a sad tale. They're all going back. They're all prepared to be slaves. Joseph, or Judah, is prepared to sacrifice himself. Oh, Judah's changed. The lion of the tribe of Judah has come out at last. His speech is marvelous. His sense of self-sacrifice, there's nothing like it in the Bible, in the book of Genesis. He's a picture of the heavenly Judah, the real lion of the tribe of Judah. But that's another story. But they're changed, and Judah especially is changed. Here's deep love for a father and deep love for a brother. It's so genuine, it's so moving, it's so earnest, it's so real. And Joseph sees it, and he need test them no more. And so we read in chapter 45 that he can't refrain himself before them anymore, and he cries, "Cause all the men to go out from me." And he's there alone with his brothers, and he weeps aloud because they're changed. He weeps aloud because they're new men, and they've proved themselves to be new men. And now the unity and the harmony can be on a solid basis. This is all that Joseph wanted. And we have that beautiful picture. He makes himself known to them. I am Joseph. That was all he wanted. Brothers and sisters, how the Lord will make himself known to us. When we're melted and truly humble
not of a critical spirit, not of an envious and malicious spirit, but of a broken and a contrite spirit. Our heavenly Joseph cannot despise, and he makes himself known to such. To that man will I look. With that man will I dwell. Him who is of a humble and contrite heart, and who trembles at my word. The Lord Jesus is the Son of the Father's right hand. He's our Benjamin. Our love for the Father and the Son of his right hand will frequently be tested. Frequently be tested. The Savior said to Peter, who denied him, "Lovest thou me?" The Lord tries our love, brethren and sisters, as well as our faith. And so have we been changed into men and women who are anxious that the Father be not grieved? Do we love God? Have we been brought in the providence of God to the place where we regret our grief of him? Have we sympathy and love to make a speech like Judah when God's interests are attacked by men? His eloquence is fueled by pathos for his Father and for the love of Benjamin, prepared to give himself for his Father and for his brother, the Father's right hand son. May we love the Father and the Son of his right hand like that. May we be advocates for their interests, for their glory, for their, humanly speaking, well-being and well-feeling. Joseph tested his brethren in these things. We shall be tested in them too, brethren and sisters. We shall. All providence is full of it. May we never be found wanting through God's grace. And when we are, as often we are, may we fly to the cross and to that heavenly brother, who, though he tests us, never hates us, continually works in us, and never ceases until he makes us like himself. Let's pray.